Developing a fully orbed Christian world and life view. That is our topic for this particular portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and our guest is Dr. Jeff Myers, who's the president of Summit Ministries. Dr. Myers, it's great to have you back on the program. Thanks for joining us.
Jerry, great to be with you. I always enjoy our conversations.
Sure, me too. And you've written some books, and you, as I say, you are the director of Summit Ministries. For those not familiar with it, what exactly is that, and how does that relate to a Christian world and life view?
Well, our mission at Summit is to equip and support the rising generation to embrace God's truth and to champion a biblical worldview. And what we mean by a biblical worldview is a worldview that's based on Scripture and articulated through the wise teachings of lots of individuals through the last 2,000 years explaining how that applies to society. So we bring students together in one of our core programs here for 2 weeks at a time. They have a lot of instruction from top Christian thought leaders, best-selling authors, economists, philosophers, theologians, and so forth, who all love Jesus. And then they have time to dialogue with them, ask all of their difficult questions about their faith, and learn to become the sort of leaders we need for our society.
Okay, now, according to George Barna, and this is a pretty fairly widely quoted statistic, he says that roughly about 6% at best of evangelicals in America today, or maybe he says of Christians in America today, have a Christian world and life view. What does he mean by that? I mean, I'm sure you've probably even quoted that statistic.
We've quoted that statistic. We've worked carefully with George Barna. In fact, he's analyzed our students who come to our Summit Ministries programs, doing a pretest and a post-test with them to see how our program helps our students stand out. But yes, it's about 6% of Americans, I believe, have a biblical worldview, about 2% of those in the rising generation, what people call Gen Z. And what he means by a biblical worldview in his test is does God exist, and is he the creator of all? Is Jesus Christ the Savior of mankind? Does the Bible give us moral guidance for how we should live our lives? Is Satan real? Those sorts of questions. So he's... They're general questions about how much a person's worldview and practices correspond to what Scripture says.
Okay, is Jesus the only way? That shouldn't be controversial, right, in light of what the Bible says about it. Is it controversial in our society, even among some professing Christians?
What's controversial, Jerry, is the idea that we can claim to know something that is true that other people might not have as their individual self-perception. So the battle we face today, I think, in the United States of America, and this could be true in other countries as well, is not a battle between Republicans and Democrats or conservatives and liberals, red states versus blue states, even religious versus non-religious. It's a very basic question. Does truth, capital T, exist in a way that can be discovered by us, or is truth up to the individual? That is the core problem, I believe. And now we are at a place where the majority of Americans believe that truth is up to the individual. And we're very close to a majority of church-going, self-identified Christians believing that as well. If truth is up to the individual, then truth is not out there to be discovered. And if you say you know the truth, then you're being intolerant.
This is so interesting to me because you well know, in the Bible, I believe it's in John's gospel, Jesus mentions the truth, and he says he came to testify to the truth. Pontius Pilate, who could have freed him, he had that power, or so he thought, but he says, what is truth? But then he turns around and walks away. So he doesn't even respond or let Jesus respond to his question. And yet Jesus, of course, is truth with a capital T, truth incarnate, if you will.
That's right, yes. So the project I've been working on most recently is called Truth Changes Everything. It's a book that comes out this next September. Oh. And the core question that I tried to deal with was, what would happen if you lived in a society where people who are Jesus followers lived as if Jesus really is the truth, capital T? What kind of difference would it make? And it turns out that's the main factor that has changed the whole course of civilization in science and the arts and education and the value of human life and justice and politics, and even in the way we work, how we work and why we work.
That's why Christianity's had such an incredible, you know, impact. I mean, we've discussed this before, but I had the privilege to write a book with Dr. Kennedy called What If Jesus Had Never Been Born? And the impact of Jesus' life, you know, on the rest of us is just phenomenal. And to this day, that's the case. But am I understanding you correctly in saying that anybody who believes, have strong convictions, let's say that Jesus is the divine Son of God, that the Bible is the truth, that we can know we're going to heaven because we have accepted Jesus, because he died for us in our place. He rose from the dead in actual history. By just believing such things, we're intolerant of others who don't share those convictions. Is that correct?
Well, anything, any kind of claim to truth is seen today as being intolerant, because truth is up to the individual. So if you say, this is what is true, a person might respond to you, well, that may be true for you, but that is not true for me. And this is a, you know, obviously you can know things that are true. If I were to say to you, hey, Jerry, at sea level, water boils at 212 degrees Fahrenheit, and you said to me, well, that may be true for you, but not for me, you would be saying something silly. But when it comes to personal beliefs, people today believe that beliefs are psychological primarily. They're not actually knowable. And so what is going on inside a person's mind is what is true for them, right? If a man believes that he's a woman, then that's what's true for him or for her. You can't have anything to say about that. The problem, obviously, is when you develop that as the basis of a society, you end up in a really bizarre place. You know, Carl Truman, a professor at Grove City College, he said, once harm and oppression are regarded as primarily psychological categories, freedom of speech then becomes part of the problem, because words become potential weapons. So that's why you hear today about the cancel culture and so forth. The goal is not to have a dialogue in order to discover the truth. The goal is to shut down opposing viewpoints so that you can maintain your individual personal psychological integrity and believe whatever you want to believe.
So in effect, you're helping us to understand what part of what's going on today with cancel culture, even the tearing down of historical statues. Where does that fit into this?
That very much fits in. People tear down historical statues because if they believe that there's some aspect of that person's life that they don't agree with, then the maintenance of that statue continually confronts their belief that they are the main arbiters of truth. Now, you know, maybe there are some statues that should never have been put up, or statues that were put up for the wrong reasons, to promote a wrong agenda. All of that is arguable. But when people say, we want to shut down all contrary viewpoints to what we are saying, they are, in fact, enacting what's much more aligned with a Marxist worldview than anything that would be a Christian worldview. So Christians need to be among those who are saying, no, truth exists, capital T. That does not mean it's easy to discover. That does not mean that we can know everything that is true, but that we can know things truly.
Okay, tell me more about the Marxist worldview. Would you say that's a prevailing view among many intellectuals on our college campuses today? Faculty and students?
No question. It is. It's very prevalent. Now, obviously, I know some people who are listening are going to say, are you saying that everybody who, you know, believes in our social justice or whatever is a communist? No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that a Marxist worldview is a set of beliefs, and it's also an approach to society. The set of beliefs essentially say that only the material world exists, that there's no God, there's no Jesus, there's no Holy Spirit, there's no heaven, there's no hell. The only thing we can do is take the natural resources of the world and make sure they are divided more equally to achieve equal outcomes. That's the body. That's the belief. But Marxism also comes with an approach to society. A Marxist worldview says we don't want to have dialogue, because if you dialogue with, you know, capitalists, you're giving them a platform that they do not deserve. They're wrong. They're on the wrong side of history. They need to be shut down. And that, I think, is the essence of the conflict that we're seeing today.
Well, this has very strong implications for evangelism, or, you know, witnessing, telling people about, you know, forgiveness is available through faith in Jesus Christ, who died for sinners and rose from the dead 2,000 years ago, and who one day is coming back, and all of history is moving towards his return.
There's no doubt. You have nailed it. In fact, it wouldn't just be helping people understand the truth about Jesus. It would be helping them understand the truth about anything at all. Anything that can be known from history about what makes a good society would also be called into question. So there is no doubt we're in a really dangerous spot if we can't prepare the rising generation to be able to identify truth and know it and then desire to live it out.
Okay, now, Dr. Myers, wouldn't you say everybody just about would agree that the Holocaust was wrong?
I think everybody should agree with that. But what I'm seeing today among a lot of young adults is they don't know what the Holocaust is. They can't identify, they can't even identify who was fighting in World War II and what the war was about. So when you decide that truth is up to the individual, then what good is understanding history anymore? So very important things for us to know and understand as a society get lost. Because it's no longer relevant what happened in the past. What is relevant is how I feel about what I'm going through right now.
Wow, this is really crazy. Would you say a lot of this gets back to the education system and the education curriculum?
I think a lot of it does. You know, you think about, you know, I'm just trying to think of some other examples other than the boiling water, but you know, we know, for example, that water molecules are made, you know, what kind of molecules they're made up of. Well, you also know things from history. We know the day that Martin Luther King was assassinated. There are certain things that if you don't have a good, solid education system, people very quickly lose the ability to discern the difference between facts and opinions. And then they begin to believe that anything that's not a scientific fact is actually an opinion. So you mentioned earlier the physical resurrection of Jesus from the grave. Gary Habermas, a professor at Liberty University,
I know him,
has written volumes on this, thousands of pages, and demonstrated all through his research that the resurrection of Jesus is the most historically provable fact of all of ancient history. But all religious facts would be considered to be opinions by the way the difference between facts and opinions are taught in today's education system.
Okay, but one of the books Dr. Habermas wrote, and in fact he wrote two books, I've interviewed him a few times through the years, was on the Shroud of Turin. Now, we have about a minute left in our discussion, but the interesting thing about the Shroud is that it purports to be scientific evidence, or provide scientific evidence for that very same resurrection of Jesus.
You know, I'm not well versed on it, Jerry. I don't know a lot about the Shroud, and so I can't really speak to that.
Okay, but give me a minute close in terms of, well, how do we get back to just even telling people there is such a thing as truth?
Well, I think you have to do it through dialogue. People tend to go back and forth on this one-dimensional line from being aggressive to being avoidant, you know, aggressive, going for the mic drop moment to shame people, avoidant. Well, your truth is true for you. My truth is true for me. Instead, we have to rise above that. We have to become advocates, both for the truth and for other people. So that's why we need programs like Summit Ministries, where students can come together, learn the truth, learn the evidence, learn the facts, and then at the same time, learn to dialogue with other people. Ask questions, for example. You know, we teach a series of questions like, what do you mean by that? Or how did you arrive at that conclusion? Or how do you know that what you believe is true? Those sorts of questions are going to be planted in people's minds and help them realize, man, I can't just say the truth is whatever I want it to be. Because if it is, then what do I even mean by truth? And how do I even have value as an individual?
Excellent. Well, we're out of time. What's your website, sir?
Summit.org.
Excellent. Okay, Dr. Jeff Myers, thanks so much for being with us. All the best.
Thanks, Jerry.
Okay.